Hi everyone, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Nick.
And you're listening to It Takes Two, the podcast where two people take two movies with the same plot or premise and watch and discuss them.
Very robotic of you. Talking of robots, in this episode we're covering a remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still. I was going to say The Day After Tomorrow, but that's not the right movie.
I thought you were going to say The Day the Earth Stood Stupid.
So, yeah, 1958 and 2008. So
50 years apart.
Yeah.
And before anyone claims that this is two different adaptations of the same source material as opposed to a remake, none of the shit that happens in the first movie, the original movie, happens in the source material.
Yeah.
It's all made up for the movie, and then the remake, while quite different from the original, is still clearly remaking that rather than basing itself on the short story.
Yeah.
Because in the short story, like, the robot and the guy just arrive, and then they shoot him instantly, and then the robot keeps trying to remake him, and then the robot's like, I'm the master, and then leaves, and that's the entire story. That's it. That's the whole story.
Cool.
The only thing is, like, it's just, there is a robot and a guy, and the guy's name is Klaatu.
Yeah.
And that's the only similarity between the short story and the original movie and the remake.
Okay.
And the remake also goes off the rails with the size of the robot. The robot's supposed to be 8 foot tall. It's 8 foot tall in the short story. It's 8 foot tall in the original. It's like 30 feet tall or something.
It's big.
He's a big boy.
Yeah, obviously the message is different as well. Because the original, it's very anti-nuclear weapons.
Yeah, the original was made during the Cold War.
Yeah.
And it's very anti-war.
Yeah. And the second one is very anti-pollution? I'm assuming it's pollution.
It's a big environmental message. It's interesting. It feels more like a spiritual sequel than it does a remake, because they changed a lot of the plot, and also the message of the movie, and also what they're there for, and also in this one they've been there before.
Is James Hong?
Yeah, James Hong. I was so surprised. I didn't see him. I didn't expect him to show up. It was a great cast.
Yeah,
not a fantastic movie, but it's not as terrible as I thought it was going to be.
My honest opinion about 2008 is not the year, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Smith was awful.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of that's the writing, not the actor. The actor's horrible in real life, but that doesn't affect the movie. I think Keanu was wasted.
Mm.
I feel like after, because it was like his big, like, he had like a little bit of downtime before he came back again, and I think this is in the downtime. Like, a lot of people don't like Constantine. I like that movie.
I like Constantine.
A lot of people don't. Mm. And
we should watch Constantine.
Okay. I'm going to pause the play. Yeah. All right, we're back from watching Constantine, guys. No. So, yeah, I just think he's wasted. I think
he's well cast, though.
Yeah, there's a great cast.
No, but I mean, like, I think it was a great decision to put Keanu Reeves as Klaatu.
Really? He doesn't do anything the entire
I think
movie.
They could have utilized it better. But yeah. I think the idea of going like, oh, we've got to have this alien who looks human, but is clearly an alien, and they're like, cast Keanu Reeves. I think that was inspired.
Okay. So the first movie, both the movies, the spaceship lands.
Mm-hmm.
It's a spaceship in the, oh my God, okay, I'm going to get into something else in a second. Yeah, the spaceship lands, the guy comes out, someone gets scared, gets trigger happy, shoots him, and then it's a lady who has to, like, look after him after he escapes out of the hospital, and the giant robot does giant robot things.
Yeah.
And then the storylines, how he gets to the fact that humanity deserves to be saved is different. And then the movie ends.
Well, he doesn't. In the first one, there's no plan to not, to like, do anything to humanity.
Yeah.
So in the original movie,
He's just there to deliver a message.
He's basically there to go, hey, y'all can keep doing your little wars and stuff here. We don't care about that. If you take that shit into space, we're going to destroy you all.
Yeah.
That's not allowed in our space alliance. We've invented these robots who will kill anyone who tries to do any kind of aggression.
Yeah.
So if you take this shit, this war shit you've got going on here up anywhere near our planets, you will die instantly.
Yeah.
So don't do it, bro.
It's also very interesting because it's a throwaway line in the 58 movie, where the radio reporter mentions the fact that the Earth isn't the only inhabitable planet in our solar system.
You're right, it was 51.
Was it 51?
51 in 2008.
Implying that he's either from Mars or Venus, because obviously this was, you know, in the 50s, so there was no, like, Apollo missions and...
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And it's very interesting because it's just like, oh yeah, he's either from Mars or Venus.
Because that's the only places we know about. Yeah, whereas he's come like way further than that.
Yeah.
Whereas in the remake, because obviously there's a lot more...
Edumacations.
But also a lot more...
understanding.
No.
Okay.
Monitoring and stuff. Like there's a lot more tech. They actually see it coming in advance. Whereas in the original, he just kind of shows up. And they're like, what the hell? Who's this? Where'd this thing come from? Whereas in the remake, they're preparing for it to land.
Yeah.
They have detected it as it was passing Jupiter.
And they get all the scientists together, including the main sort of protagonist, which is Jennifer Connelly's character.
Yeah, who actually has a job and is intelligent in this movie, as opposed to in the original where she's just like... Oh, no, she does have a job, does she, in the original? But, like, she's just...
She's just a single mom
in a boarding house.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, by coincidence of location that she ends up connected to Klaatu.
Yeah. Klaatu in the original spends a lot more time just, like, watching humanity.
Yeah.
And less running away and doing stuff. He's just, like, hanging out with... Is it Billy? Is a kid named Billy?
Yeah, I think
yeah.
So.
It's a very nice...
It's either Billy or Bobby, because the actor's name is the other one of those.
Billy Bobby?
So, like, either the kid's name is Billy and the actor is Bobby, or the kid's name is Bobby and the actor is Billy. It's okay. One or the other.
Billy Bobby is the hero of the story.
No, the actor is Billy, so the character is Bobby.
So Bobby is the hero of the story in 51, because he teaches the robot... that humanity is good and there's potential and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I think they were going for that but then in they the remake cast as well.
Jaden Smith and then made his character obnoxious, rude, and awful.
Mm-hmm.
That was you. No. No, the vibration of the phone.
No, that's going to be on the podcast.
Shocking, we have phones.
I forgot that we decided we were going to put our... I think for one recording, we put our phones on Do Not Disturb, and then I forgot that was a thing we could do.
Yeah. Where was I going? Yeah, and he's just, like, obsessed with his dead dad, and he calls his stepmother, who's his only guardian, Helen, which is rude, but very, like, how people write stepkids. Yeah, just Keanu's on the ride of going to these weird places to activate his arcs, and then the industrial military complex tries to fight the robot and loses, and then, you know, humanity is saved.
Yep.
The end. There's a plot of both the movies summed up in one.
Yeah, basically. Okay. That's the end of the podcast. Yeah, I don't know what we really want to talk about with these.
I was going to talk about the music.
The music. I also wanted to talk about the music.
Okay, you can go first.
But it was because the music was done by Bernard Herrmann.
Yeah.
And he inspired the music that is the intro to our podcast. Because I love Bernard Herrmann, and I love his weird, creepy music scores.
When was the Thurman put in as like the go-to creepy alien sound.
It was probably because of this, right?
Because, you know, so for those who don't know, one of my favorite game series of all time is called Earth Defense Force. Lisa personally hates it. She finds it very irritating. Because there is split screen co-op, and I have forced her to make.
Yeah, I forced Lisa to play the game. You're just fighting giant ants all the time.
Yeah, but there's flying saucers and Thurman, the best of both worlds, and you shoot them with machine guns and rocket launchers, Gatling guns, flamethrowers. I love the music in the original because it is very 1950s science fiction. One of the artists that I really enjoy, who I listen to their music, well, not so much as much anymore, but I did listen to it a lot. Mm-hmm. If you've seen anything Keanu's made lately, including, you know, I don't know, the franchise John Wick, you will know the name Tyler Bates, who is the, he did a few game soundtracks, including Payday 2, and his music has a lot of like repetitive beats and sort of like a escalating vibe to it. I don't know how to describe music. So it's interesting that you like the artist who did 51 and I like the artist who did 2008. So that's interesting.
Yeah. So I'm trying to look into the history because you said you were talking about theremin, the instrument,
yeah,
right?
Theremin. Yeah.
So it sounds like it was like used, it was made in Russia, used originally, the first time it was used in a film was in a sound effect in a Russian film. But it was introduced into American film use when a Hungarian immigrant, Miklos Roza, who was helping to score Spellbound, an Alfred Hitchcock film, in 1945. Included it in the score. Alfred Hitchcock's films typically have been scored by Bernard Herrmann, who then also scored this movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still. So I assume he worked with Rosa on that one, or possibly just got the inspiration from that. But and then it was only like sci-fi movies. So the first sci-fi movie to use it was Rocket Ship XM, which was a B movie in 1950.
Nice.
And then after that, it became the iconic sound of 1950 sci-fi because of The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Yeah.
Released in 1951.
Can I point out something? The title for 2008 is very misleading.
Why?
Because in 51, when the man, when Klaatu.
You're going to call him Keanu.
Yeah, when I was going to say Keanu.
Keanu shows up in 1951.
Yeah. It's actually 1928?
Oh, in the
yeah, yeah,
in
when
2008
they, when
one?
When they steal his DNA.
Yeah, they steal Keanu's DNA in 1928. In India, for some reason.
Yeah, it was like mountain climbing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I realized something very interesting. He's got a very interesting, so like, for those who have seen the artwork for our podcast, I have a beard. Keanu's beard is very interesting because like the peaks of his cheeks grow above his mustache, where mine is like from where my hairline mm-hmm. used to be down to like my lips.
I think it's just ethnicity.
Yeah, because he's...
Because he's part Hawaiian, part Chinese.
Yeah.
So he's got an interesting... Because I mean, I feel like that... Like, if you think about, like, old Chinese men with beards,
I just think Kung Fu movies.
Yeah, yeah, if you think of Kung Fu movies and old Chinese men with beards, I feel like it grows similarly.
Yeah.
So I think that's his Chinese heritage, potentially. I don't know.
It was because there's a lot of shots in the beginning of, like, close-ups of his face where he's just, like, moving very slowly.
Yeah.
And I just noticed it when the camera angle was, like, holding in a certain angle, like, it was very... wasn't a Dutch angle, but it felt like they were trying to do, like, the inverse of a Dutch angle. Mm. Yeah, it was just interesting. What was I saying before his beard? Music? 1950s? I don't remember anymore.
I think you just wanted to talk about Canterbury's beard.
Possibly.
Yeah, he's definitely got interesting beard shape in general when he has a beard.
Yeah, he definitely looks better with a beard, in my opinion. Mm.
Everyone looks better with a beard.
Fair enough. Especially the women.
Yeah, yeah. We should all have beards.
Yeah, so the point I was getting to, because I've just remembered when you talked about women's beards,
mm-hmm.
Was in the original, the Earth did stand still.
Right.
They stand around, they go and, like, hang out by the perimeter of the spaceship and stare at the robot. They talk to each other and they're just, like, sitting around. They're going on dates. They're, like, you know, living their life, but they're not, like... There's not a, like, huge apocalyptic panic. No, where in 2008, they're literally, like, news... Every other news report is about, like, lack of food...
People rioting.
Rioting. There's, like, every time they're driving around, there's, like, cop cars running to, like, people having fights and looting. And, like, there's not a lot of standing still. Everyone's just, like, panic central.
Which is very funny considering the original one was an anti-war, anti-aggression message. Yeah. And this one isn't.
Yeah.
They're, like, and that everyone's being aggressive. Yeah, it's interesting. Because it's definitely... But I think that comes with the modern era and media panic and mass hysteria and things like that. Like, in the 1950s one, it's very much this thing has just arrived and we don't know anything about it and this guy came out of it and, you know, and everyone is just mesmerized by it.
Yeah.
And in the remake, it's an Armageddon situation. They're like, this thing is coming to impact, but let's get all these scientists in a helicopter hovering above... So that they won't...
Teach some oil drillers to be astronauts.
Yeah, yeah. No, but you know what I mean? It's they're bracing for impact of a thing. Except, here's the thing. They say that they want those scientists to be there for the aftermath. But
they fly them directly to where the...
Well, this is the thing. They have them where it is, and then they have them hovering off the air. If they were gathering them to be ready, to be, you know, out of the city for the aftermath. First of all, they wouldn't be anywhere near it.
They wouldn't be in the helicopters.
And second of all, it would be a different group of people because they've brought together, like, astrobiologists and stuff. They have, the team they have put together is the team you would want for first contact.
Yeah.
So presumably, they knew more than they were letting on. I didn't mean to make that noise, sorry.
It
scared me. Presumably, they knew more than they were letting on. And they had... idea that this was coming. I mean, I guess they would have known from the fact that it wasn't following an asteroidal orbit or whatever it was they say when they
elliptical.
Talk about elliptical. Though they talked about it being not following the kind of path of an asteroid.
Yeah, so it'd be an elliptical orbit, so it'd be pulled in by the gravity of the sun, so right. Pulled towards our solar system, and then flung out again.
So they know that it's not. So they must have an idea that it is not natural.
Yeah,
and not a natural movement. So I think that they are bracing for potential first contact, and that's why they have those people there. And maybe they do have another group of people somewhere else who were, you know, their asteroid backup if it turns out it is a rock that's coming to...
Yeah, because there seem to be a lot of people that gathered up.
Yeah, and but they are the kind of people who you would want to
make first contact. It's very much like Arrival and Sphere.
Right.
Where the, you know, the governments are like, hey, we've got to get these people together for alien contact, you know. Like, why else would you need
So she's an astrobiologist, but she deals mainly in microbiology.
Yeah. Which is, have we even got any of those?
In real life?
I don't think we do we? I don't think anybody's actually gone anywhere and brought back... No, because that would mean the life on other planets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think
weird role she's in.
Yeah, because I think the concept is she's studying and teaching
what could
what kind of life, what kind of microorganisms could exist in these different climates that we're aware of.
Because I think that's one of the things that I read recently. I think it, man, that was a sentence. It was something I read recently was we have to curb our expectations of, like, life on other planets.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have to be, like, what we're, you know, we have been looking for is, like, industrialization.
Yeah.
But now we're looking at, I think it's methane. I think methane, which is from organic, the only way it normally exists is from organic production.
Right.
Because they're, like, at the bottom of the ocean on our planet, there are, like, heat, like, geothermal vents.
Yeah.
And there are snails that live on them that they're, like, exoskeletons literally made out of iron.
Yeah.
And there are a bunch of moons around on in our solar system that possibly have liquid oceans.
Mm.
So, with geothermal activity as well. So it's like, you know.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Europa Report?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a great movie.
No.
But cool.
Isn't that Charlton Copley in that one as well?
Possibly.
I feel like Charlton Copley is only good in Neil Blomkamp films, and then I don't like him in other films. I love him in Chappie. He's great in District 9.
You love him in Elysium.
I didn't. Elysium is... I'm not a fan of Elysium. Maybe I need to give Elysium another try.
Sweet. So we're going to pause the podcast.
But, yeah, I think he was in a Europa Report. If I remember correctly.
Yeah. They would just, you know, land on Europa, fall through the ice, squids get you.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, spoilers for the movie that no one ever saw. Yeah, it's just, it's interesting because, yeah, this concept of humanoid aliens, I think is a little bit far-fetched even.
Well, the idea is, from the original short story, and I think it's supposed to be the same in these movies, but it's never actually said, is that the robot is like cloning. They're like clones. They're like Sam Bell on the moon. That's another spoiler for another movie.
Jesus.
Oh no. I just realized what I've done. Everyone forget what I just said. But you know what I mean? It's supposed to be a system that he has, like, these clones of this organic being that he sends out to do his bidding or whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, pre-planning in... Because it's not mentioned in the original, the reason he looks human and he can just blend in.
It's not mentioned like, why he looks human, but it is... They do explain how he can speak English. Speak and understand English. He says that they've been receiving radio broadcasts for years, and he's been studying their languages, plural, so yeah. He presumably can speak multiple languages.
And then in the 2008, they just, like, confiscated a military satellite.
Mm. And they, you know, were taking DNA from humans so that they could make humans. And he arrives looking like an alien, but he's covered in something that's like a placenta.
Yeah.
And the concept is that he had to be born in the Earth atmosphere.
Yeah.
As a, you know, in that Earth body. So he very much references that he is currently in a human body, but yeah, he is not a human.
Yeah.
And the human body feels pain, and the human body this and that, but...
He does have some cool powers.
Mm-hmm.
In comparison to, I'm a regular guy, let's go down and play catch, Bobby, and let's get ice cream and look at the spaceship. I'm going to break into the scientist's house because the government won't let me talk to the world leaders because it landed in America. Don't land in America, aliens, if you're listening, because you're obviously interrupting our podcast to bring you this message of peace. Don't land in America.
Mm.
Land like Antarctica.
Yeah, I
think land somewhere that's neutral. Like
Antarctica,
if you could
has got like scientists from
everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a perfect place. Oh yeah, wait. I want to remake this movie now where Let's they land in Antarctica.
Or you could just write our own movie. Blackjack
and
hookers.
All of the people in Antarctica will listen to our podcast.
Yes.
But no, Antarctica is the perfect place. But then again, hang on, we've all seen...
The Thing?
Yes, we've all seen the Alien movie where it lands in Antarctica.
Yeah, but that was thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
No, it just makes more sense to, like, if you were studying humanity, you wouldn't go to the one country, no offense, Americans, who...
Where people shoot at tornadoes?
Yeah, like... Governors organize people to arrive on the beach to shoot at a hurricane,
yeah,
and people suggest nuking a hurricane to stop it. Like, no offense, but you'd really like to shoot first and ask questions in court later.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to land anywhere that... No, Antarctica is the perfect place.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't want to land anywhere that has nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to land anywhere that's at war with anyone. You wouldn't want to land anywhere with active military presence, really.
Yeah, because if you land in, like, half the planet, a bunch of people are going to be excluded.
Yeah, and both of these... Both versions of this movie have him realizing that he needs to talk to...
Everybody.
That he needs to talk to a very intelligent person.
Yeah.
In the original, he's like, I need to find who's the most... You know, he asks the kid who's the smartest person, and he's like, oh, this guy that my mom works with. But in the remake, she convinces him. She's like, you know, this... I'm going to bring... Like, the people you're talking about aren't the real leaders. You know, this guy who's won a Nobel Prize is a real leader. So in both, he kind of comes to a conclusion that he needs to speak to scientists.
Yeah.
The
smarty people.
And that's who you would find out in Antarctica.
Yeah.
Primarily, it's scientists down there.
Marine biologists.
Yeah, I mean, not just marine biologists, but yeah.
Climate scientists. Yeah.
Exactly. Especially in this one.
Yeah.
His whole thing is about the climate. Go to the climate scientists. Be like, hey, bros.
You know who we know personally?
Are you going to talk about our very best friend, Jim Cameron, again?
Yeah, we can just go. Oh, he's too busy making Avatar.
Oh, you want to go to Jim Cameron and ask him to make it? He would do it.
Yeah.
Let's pitch it.
Because he's the best at making sequels, Lisa.
He loves sequels. He loves sequels. And he loves movies with an environmental message.
Yeah. Sold. Tweet at him.
Oh, we need to talk to Jim. We're just going to go find him. He lives somewhere around here. He's like, you know, it's probably about a 20-minute walk. Let's find James Cameron. Let's pitch this movie to him. A sequel to Day the Earth Stood Still. A sequel to the original. So let's forget the Keanu Reeves one.
Yeah.
So it's a sequel to the original. So like in a world where that did happen, and that's why the space program was shut down because they didn't want to get destroyed by Gort or whatever. But now we have the environmental stuff going on. So they send a new person down, but because of what Klaatu learned the first time, they know that it's scientists they need to speak to, and they know that the United States is full of hostility, so they go to Antarctica.
Yeah.
Let's do it. We're talking about a movie that doesn't exist. We're comparing these movies to a movie we've just made up. Ours is better.
Ours is better.
That's great. I mean, I don't know how we get that made. I don't think we could just pitch to James Cameron. I don't think he'd accept that.
No.
James Cameron, if you're listening...
He's not.
You don't know that. You don't know that James Cameron's not listening. I've seen him in real life.
We've both seen him in real life.
We've seen him in real life. He lives here.
Yeah.
He might listen to the podcast.
He'll be in the basement of Weta making sure the Na'vi have big enough titties for people to find them attractive, otherwise no one will watch the movie.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he's working on Avatar 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah.
I
think it's only 6.
Is it
I looked it up today when we were talking to, not sponsored, one of the hosts of Hair Us Out, Paul.
Yeah.
He is Paul. He's been Paul and he will be Paul. That's a Hair Us Out joke. James Cameron.
Y'all wouldn't get it unless you listened to Hair Us Out. So listen to Hair Us Out.
Every Friday on YouTube.
Yeah, well, Friday here in New Zealand. It's Thursday evenings, Irish time. 8 p.m., I think. Thursday evenings, 8 p.m., Irish time, on YouTube. Here is that. What are we talking about?
Avatar, James Cameron.
Yeah, but why are we talking about that? That's got nothing to do with either of these movies. So anyway.
Landing to talk to scientists, you wouldn't go to the estates because it's first. Ask questions in court.
So... How do we get back to these movies that we were talking about? So they're both movies.
We could talk about
aliens.
The military complex, because that's sort of on brand for what the kind of flow of the discussion is.
Okay.
Obviously, he gets shot by a guy in a tank. I don't know why the guys in the tank are just using handguns and not the tank part of the tank.
He gets shot in both movies.
Oh no, there's only 5. Sorry, I apologize to every Avatar head.
Only 5? I thought there were 7.
Yeah.
There'll be 7.
There'll be like spin-offs where like parallel movies that happened at the same time or some shit.
Pandora Origins.
Oh, God. Wolverine.
Yeah, so he, in both movies, Klaatu gets shot while he's giving his intro speech, which also happens in the short. But in the short, he dies, and then the rest of the short is about the robot trying to clone him from an audio recording, which doesn't make sense. And then he gives up, and the person who's been trying to help him the whole time is like, oh, sorry about your master. And he's like, no, I am the master.
And then he screams Superman and flies into space.
Yeah. Just like to hit the missile.
Giant. Yeah.
Anyway.
Spoilers for Iron Giant.
Spoilers for the Iron Giant. So Klaatu gets shot in both movies. And then Gort goes on a, like, time to destroy the aggressors. Just a
mini rampage.
Thing, and then Klaatu's like, no, don't do it.
But he speaks a special...
Don't shoot. That's a reference to Action Beats.
Is
another one of our friends. Anyway.
Is the thing he says in the 1951 thing the same catchphrase that Bruce Campbell has to use?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he does... So he tells her to use that in the 1951 movie. Because it's if he gets hurt. He gets hurt and he's saying, no, tell him this. In the 2008 one, Keanu Reeves says it twice. But he, in both times, they do it and like, they do something weird with the audio where they play it forward and backwards at the same time and echo it or something. So that you can't actually understand what the hell he's saying.
Yeah, it's like machine language rather than...
They do use it in Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
Anyway. I don't know why, though. Because it includes his name, like the first word. It's Klaatu Barada Nikto,
I think. I think it's just like a funny Easter egg for people who love, like, that genre of movie.
Yeah. But anyway, because he's shot, he gets taken away to, like, a military medical facility to be kind of half...
We're rehashing the plot again.
Whatever. You wanted to talk about the military complex, so I was just saying how we get there.
Yeah, sorry.
So what do you want to say about the military complex?
It's just very interesting because the first movie is very much like their... Because obviously it's, you know, the 1950s, so it's sort of like the end of war, like the World War, and, well, not real, yes, somewhat.
It's post-World War II.
Yeah, it's post-World War II, so obviously there was a lot of soldiers.
Amidst the Cold War.
Yeah, and a lot of fear of, you know, aliens, meaning both from extraterrestrial and foreigners. But in the, you know, it's very, very much like, you know, wait and see kind of mentality after they screw up and Gort, you know, melts all the tanks and, you know, they're sort of just standing around being like, oh, if we're not violent to the giant robot, he's not violent to us, like a let be, you know, live and let be sort of attitude, which, you know, sort of wasn't really what was going on with the Cold War, but... I wasn't alive at that time, so I can't really give you like a temperature of how the world was. The other one is just like, oh yeah, cool. I'm the voice and eyes and ears of the president. Let's bomb it. Let's like try and blow it, like instantly. Like, oh, it landed in one of the most populated cities in the entire world. Let's like try and do tactical strikes on it repetitively.
It's so stupid.
It's so stupid.
Like, also, they never named the president. Or show the president.
Yeah.
But she has a phone call where she, like, begs the president not to blow up the thing. And it's like, okay, Mr. President, I'll do it. This is set during the Bush administration, so I have to assume that's George W. Bush saying, blow the damn thing up. And she's like, please, Mr. President, we can reason with it. And he's like, nah.
Yeah, they really don't. Like, 1950s, you know, like, sort of, like, most of them are armed with... Colt 45s, you know, there's some tanks, there's some, like, Browning machine guns, there's a few other things, and most of them are, like, just service rifles. You know, the new age, they've got Reaper drones and tanks and, you know, everything else under the sun. It's complete, you know, like, a giant impervious robot is kind of, like, the ultimate weapon. Because he just, like, waits. Why does he wait to be captured? There's a weird part about it.
Well, he just stands totally still.
And then he's like, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to bring out the most terrifying thing that humans could ever possibly create. And if anybody ever creates them, we're all screwed.
It gets very biblical.
Yeah.
Because in my head, when he turns into the nanites or whatever,
yeah.
In my head, it was just playing the plagues from Prince of Egypt.
Yeah.
It was like, I send the swarm, I send the horde. I was like, yeah, he sure is sending the swarm and the horde. These are plagues. It literally goes biblical, turns into like a plague situation.
Yeah. It's
except it's a plague of nanites instead of locusts.
Well, they look like locusts.
Yeah, that's the point. That's what I'm saying. It's biblical. It's a proper biblical apocalypse.
And they're getting all the two of every animal so they can build an ark.
Yes. Yeah. It's very biblical. They did they're gathering two of and every species except humans, which they want to wipe out.
So Keanu's Jesus.
No.
No, hang on.
It's a Moses / Noah story. So he's either Moses or Noah.
But he's this half...
He's Moses, because he calls
He's half him. God, half human.
He's not half God. He's
Moses. He's got the brain of a god.
He's Moses.
Moses was an
because
alcoholic.
Because he calls on...
With way too many kids.
He calls on the plagues, and then he ceases the plagues. He's Moses.
Okay.
He kills everyone's firstborn. But why he doesn't do that.
Why was he building an ark? If he wasn't Noah.
He wasn't. James Hong built the ark.
James Hong built the ark.
James Hong built the ark. Those were all there before Keanu arrived.
So it's a sequel to the Bible where you've got Jesus, Noah, and Moses coming together again.
So who's Jesus? Who's playing Jesus in this?
Keanu is.
Keanu is Moses.
Why?
Oh, are you saying the robot is Moses?
Yes, because okay. He's the one making the plagues. You just said that.
So the robot is Moses.
Yeah.
James Hong is Noah. And
because he has to
thing is Jesus.
Tell
God. It's just
tell
a very,
God.
Very sped up version of the Old Testament.
He's telling God, which is in this case the sphere, to not wipe out the human race.
So the sphere is God.
Yeah, the sphere is God. The
sphere is God.
Keanu biblically
is
accurate
Jesus.
God, yeah.
So Klaatu is Jesus, Gort is
Moses,
and James Hong. Does James Hong have a character name, or is he just James Hong?
He's just James Hong.
He's just James Hong, who's been living as a human on Earth for 70 years.
And clearly has a grandson as well.
Yeah, so he's been busy.
He's been Omni-manning it. You don't understand the reference.
Omni-manning.
Yeah, it's your boy.
It's my boy.
J.K. Simmons.
Okay, I do like J.K. Simmons.
Good, let's watch Invincible.
I don't want to watch it. Ugh. I knew that's what it was going
to
be.
Trying to trick you again. Why won't you watch Invincible? Where was I going? Yeah.
So it's the whole
this
Old
is off
Testament
the rails. Yeah.
And into the New Testament, because obviously Jesus happening simultaneously. In like a day? Because it's supposed to be the day the earth stood still, right? So was it one day?
I don't know.
Do no we one, have an overnight in it?
I think it was, like, this is the problem with this movie. So,
definitely in the original it's more than one day.
Yeah.
It's like 2 days.
He's, like, hanging out.
But I think it's only 2 days.
And then they just, like, hang out. She goes on 2 dates. That's a lot of dates for 1 week.
She goes on 2 dates?
Yeah.
Does she?
The Helen, I can't remember, equivalent in the original.
Yeah.
Or is she coming back from a date? I don't remember. She's dating someone
yeah,
who's
she's
like...
she's dating this guy. She engaged him, I think, right?
No, he asks her, and she's like, I have to talk to
Billy Bob.
Yeah.
Bobby Bill about it. And then, but she calls off the whole thing because...
She's in love with the spaceman.
No, it's because she...
She's a dick to the spaceman.
Yeah, it's because she thinks that they have the same values... And then when she tries to tell him, look, this guy's actually trying to save humanity, he's like, I don't care about that, and you won't either, when my name's in the paper.
Yeah.
All he cares about is getting his name recognized. He doesn't care about actually helping anyone. And that's when she's like, oh, no, this is not the man I want to marry.
Yeah, there's no love interest for Helen in this movie, other than Keanu Reeves.
Well, she has a dead love interest, the boy's
yeah,
father.
Yeah, true.
Because she's not his mother in this one.
Yeah.
Whereas in the original, the lady is the mother of Bobby. I've forgotten her name now.
Helen.
No, she's Helen in the remake. Is she Helen in the original as well?
I don't know. She grows up to be a train conductor, though.
She grows up to be...
Sorry. Snowpiercer.
She doesn't grow up.
She was doing already, heroin with
already an adult. With
Jared Leto.
Oh my god.
The Joker. Married Will Smith after he'd had his son.
Patricia, yeah, that's good. Oh, she's Helen in both.
Okay. So I was right. Helen Benson. I was right out of ignorance.
And the professor that John Cleese plays is the same, because I recognize that was the same name, Professor Barnhart. But yeah, so she is Helen in both. And she is, I guess she is a scientist in the original. I don't know what she does in the original. I know she works with the professor.
I feel like...
That's what the kid says.
Someone said something about a secretary, but I don't know sure if this was that movie or I don't remember.
Well, it wasn't Shrek, which is what we watched in between these two movies. That's how we do the podcast. We watch one movie and then we watch Shrek and then we watch the other movie.
Oh my god, I've seen Shrek so many times now. No,
that's because we have to watch all four Shrek movies, and the most we've gotten through is two. You still haven't seen Shrek the Third.
Okay.
We're gonna do it. We're gonna do it this time. We'll get there.
Is there any other trivia that I've already spoiled that you want to cover?
Sure, probably. I don't know. Did I take any damage?
You're the trivia queen.
Most of the trivia for the 1951, The Day the Earth Stood Still, is just about what a weakling the guy who played Gort is. It's just so much...
What?
So much trivia about how he's so weak. So his name is Locke Martin. He was the doorman at the Chinese theater.
Okay.
And he was cast because he was 7 foot tall.
Okay.
And the robot's supposed to be 8 foot tall. And they were like, let's just get this 7 foot tall man in a robot suit. But he was super weak, so he couldn't actually carry anyone. So, like, the robot has to keep carrying people in that movie. He has to keep, like, he picks up Helen, it picks up Klaatu, whatever. He couldn't do it. And, like... 90% of the trivia on IMDb for this movie is like, he was so weak, they had to use wires. He was so weak, he had to carry dummies. And it's like, I don't care.
Yeah, there's like...
I don't expect this man to be super strong. Why do you keep telling me this?
Bone density and height are not great things together.
Yeah, yeah. So there's like times where it's a dummy, there's times where Patricia Neal's carried by wires, there's times where... the guy who plays Klaatu is like on a dolly behind it or whatever, and it looks like he's carrying him. And it's like, it just keeps telling me about it.
Okay.
Also, because they wanted the spaceship to look like there was no seam on it, and then suddenly a door appeared.
Yeah.
What they did was they just covered up the crack with putty and painted it the same color as the thing, and then when it opened, the putty was torn apart and it looks like it just like appears. And then to get the same effect when it closes, they just reverse the footage.
That makes sense.
So it's all practical, you know, as you do.
I love practical.
Patricia Neal, who plays Helen in the original, like, just thought it was a really shitty film. She thought it was going to be like a really like trashy flying saucer movie. And it was very hard to get her to keep a straight face when saying her lines, especially the Klaatu, Barada, Nikto, whatever. She was like, this is ridiculous. And then she like was totally unaware that it was going to be an actually like decent film and would go on to be really popular.
Yeah.
And become like an all-time sci-fi classic. The kid, Bobby, played by Billy Gray.
Yeah.
Billy Gray is the only member of that cast who is still alive currently. The note on IMDb said as of February 2024, so I did look up and make sure that he hasn't died in the meantime.
He hasn't died in the
meantime. But that was yesterday, so I mean, unless he died today, which would be shocking.
It'd suck to die on the same day as Donald Sutherland, because no one would give a shit.
Oh, God, yeah, true. And then the other thing I put in was that Danny Elfman has said that Bernard Herrmann's score for this film is what inspired him to become a composer.
Your favorite composer.
Is he?
I'm sure. You talk about bloody... Oh my god, you talk about him so much.
Who? Danny Elfman?
Yes.
I don't feel like I talk about Danny Elfman a lot. Pete McConnell.
I've never heard you say Pete McConnell.
You never heard me say Pete McConnell. I love Pete McConnell. Pete McConnell did the He invented the iMuse. He did the music for Grim Fandango, Day of the Tentacle. Like, he worked with Clint Bajakian and Michael Land on a whole lot of LucasArts 80s and 90s games. You're looking at me like I've gone insane. You're like, who are any of these people?
You're very cute.
For the remake, I didn't take a lot of notes. There wasn't a lot of trivia about it. Keanu Reeves was the only choice they had for the lead role. So I don't know what would have happened if he said no, I guess. I assume they would have had to come up with another person. Yeah. But I like that he was, like, the first and only choice. And then the only other bit of trivia that I liked was, so they hired an astronomer as a consultant of the film. His name is Seth Shostak. And he reviewed the script several times for errors, and he gave a lot of suggestions to make the scientist less dry. He was like, they wouldn't say this. So he said, this is a quote from him. He said, real scientists don't describe an object entering the solar system as notable for the fact that it was not moving in an asteroidal ellipse, but moving at nearly 3 by 10 to the 7 meters per second. More likely, they would say there was a goddamn rock headed our way. And he also said, like, the scientists would call each other by their first names. Yeah. Like, why would they not? So I like that he was just like, these are just dudes. These are just some people. Like, just let them talk like regular people.
There's a couple who have met a bunch of scientists. They are just regular people.
Yeah. I mean, they're
slightly more...
Slightly more regular than other people? No.
I was going to say slightly more, like, hyper-fixated on one individual thing, but,
yeah,
like...
and they love talking to you about that thing.
Yeah.
Whatever that thing is, they love talking to you about it. Yeah. I've learned so much about fish from some fish people. The fish people, you know, yeah. Casually.
Mermaid.
Yeah, the fish people. Do you want to look at budget and box office just to, like, see which of them was more successful?
Yeah, I don't think there'd be, like, a massive equivalence. Well, 1950, yeah.
Yeah, they're so far apart. There's no point in, like, trying to compare them, like, oh, this one cost more. But to see, like...
$1,000 it would buy you a house.
Yeah. But to see, like, so the original, the budget was $1.2 million.
That's a lot of money for the 50s.
The 50s, yeah. And box office, $3.7 million. So it made about three times in box office. The remake budget was $80 million, and the box office was $233 million.
When you said 20, I was like, oh no.
Sorry, yeah, $233 million.
They're both...
So that's about four, or just less than four times.
Yeah.
So they're not, in terms of, like, percentage-wise, they're not far off each other.
Yeah.
Technically, the remake is more of a success, which is surprising. But I would say... You know, the original has definitely gone on to become a classic. It's definitely well known as a classic film.
It's been a very interesting ride with watching these remakes. Because it's hard to say that the remakes don't bring anything to the original. This, obviously, some of them have and some of them haven't.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't want to be that same guy who's every single other guy on the internet saying Hollywood has no new ideas and they're just rehashing and rehashing everything. But, you know, it also introduces a group of people who may have not seen the original.
Yeah.
Like, how many people would have been taking dates to 1951's release of The Earth Stood Still, you know?
Yeah.
It's the same with when one of the other episodes we talked about, which is the ape episode.
Yeah, Planet of the Apes.
Because I saw that. I saw that in theatres.
The remake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd seen the original Charlton Heston one on television.
Yeah.
You know, but I wasn't alive.
Yeah.
Then, you know, so it does bring stuff.
And I think it's...
I think it's when remakes happen within, like... the zeitgeist of, like, the actual culture. Like, if they were doing a scene-for-scene remake of... Well, it's a perfect example of a movie we just brought out. Shrek.
Yeah.
I think people would, like, lose their minds.
Well, this is the thing that we're going to get to with our Disney remake series. Is that, like, the ones we've covered so far have mostly been, like, older movies.
90s into 20s. Sort of era, 80s into 80s and 90s.
Well, no, because we covered, like, 40s movies. You know what I mean? Like, Nokia and stuff.
Yeah,
like, 1940s movies being remade as
I was just thinking
Lion King. Yeah. Which we haven't done.
Haven't we?
Have we? Did we do that? I blanked it. I think we did. Oh my god, I've totally blanked seeing the remake of The Lion King.
Yeah, because it was the same movie again.
Did we really do that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Oh my god. Have I just forgotten? See, it happens to you as well as me. I've just entirely forgotten watching that movie. I was going to say I haven't seen it.
Because it's pointless.
Anyway.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
What I was going to say was they're doing a live-action remake of Moana, which came out in, what, 2017 or 2018? Yeah. Like, why does that need to have a remake already? It doesn't.
By live-action, do you mean like Lion King live-action?
No, they're CGI. They're people in Moana.
I know they're not lions. Yeah. I'm saying that the movie they're bringing out,
will be real people. I think Dwayne The Rock Johnson is reprising his role as Maui.
People are going to lose their minds.
Yeah. yeah. But anyway, with these films, I feel like the original had something to say about the Cold War.
Yeah.
I think a brave film to make at that time,
yeah,
considering they were, you know, going out and taking people out of Hollywood and you know, during the Red Scare, calling them communists and kicking them out of the country.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's brave of them to be like, hey, stop doing this shit. Why are we doing wars? Obviously it hasn't worked because they're still doing wars.
Yeah.
But it makes sense then that if you want to make...
It's
a movie with a message about how we're destroying the Earth now. You take that kind of
Here's the interesting part, because, like, if you've been following the news recently, like, as in probably in the time frame of when this podcast is released, it's not looking great, guys.
Mm.
I think with the tipping point's come and gone, because, yeah, like, people have been doing their annual, like, pilgrimages to religious sites, and because it's so friggin' hot, they're dying.
Yeah.
You know, big oils may have lied to us about climate change not being real. You know, I shouldn't have been drinking all that oil all those years. Yeah, it's really bad.
Yeah.
And this movie came out...
2008.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot of movies around that time. Because, yeah. I mean, I think... Did you mention The Day After Tomorrow? Right? Yes. You almost said it.
Yeah.
There's another movie about an apocalypse through climate change.
Yeah. So now we have to decide what movie we're watching after this.
What do you mean?
Well, there's The Earth Stood Still. Day After Tomorrow. Constantine, you mentioned.
Oh, yeah, Constantine.
Or Three Shrek movies.
Got so much to watch.
If you're a person who has Discord, in the show notes you can find our Discord page. If you join it, we will communicate with you, very much like the alien and the lady did.
Yeah, we'll communicate to you like aliens and ladies.
Yeah.
You decide which is which.
Yeah. Our podcast can be found on the internet everywhere, and the hub for everywhere is our website, ittakes2.co.nz.
I love it when you do the stuff, because you forget how
things
the world
works. Yeah.
I suppose in the show notes, I'll throw a shout out to...
James Cameron.
Oh, yeah, James Cameron. No, I was going to say Hear Us Out, because we mentioned them.
Yeah.
Do we want to do Action Beat Is That as well, or will they not like us for doing that?
Oh, who knows?
I'll put it in the show notes.
And
they listen to our podcast. If you don't want it in there, I'll take it out. All right, well, that's about it for us for today. So yeah.
Thank you for joining us.
We'll catch you next time.
Don't get nuked in space or climate changed.
Yeah, don't get climate changed.
Yeah.
Just stop changing the climate.
Yep.
There, we've solved it.
It's too late.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.